the church say amen. Let the church say amen. Amen. Every head bow and every eye close. Father God, it is once again at this hour of the day, just a few of your handmaid servants have once again assembled in this holy place, Father. Father, we come realizing that you're God, and besides you, there is no other God. And Father, we come thanking you because you are a merciful God. You are God that's long-suffering, God that have looked beyond our faults, our failures, our excuses, and you still have extended your grace and your mercy toward us. And Father, we come today thanking you, Father, for when we look back over our lives and see where you brought us from, when we look back, Father, and see what you brought us through, oh, Father, we can't help but to pause and praise you and magnify you and glorify your holy and your righteous name. Because we know if it had not been for you, Lord, the question would be today, where would we be? But like the songwriter said, that we are blessed. We're blessed because we are able to stand on our own two feet. We're blessed because we still have life in our bodies. Blood is still running through our veins. We're blessed because you have allowed our golden years just to run on just a little while longer. And Father, I'm not going to sit here and hold my peace, but I'm going to praise you and magnify you and glorify you because I realize, Father, that there has to be a God somewhere. And God, you've been better to me than I've been to myself. And so I just say amen. I say glory. I say praise you, Lord, for doing what you've done for me, Father. Today, Father, we thank you for all of the mothers that's in the house today, Father. We thank you, Father, for those individuals who are still mourning and grieving the loss of their mothers, Father. But let them know that you know better than we know, O Heavenly Father. And there's a reason that you have for everything, Father. And so, Father, we just thank you for the time that they have had with mothers and the time that they still have with mothers, Father. And we praise your name, Father, for your mercy and your glory. Oh, Father, we ask right now, Father, in the name of Jesus, that you will hide your servant behind our cross, that you will let me down into the deep riches and secrets of your word, Father. Oh, Father, let me speak your word, Father, because something happened when your word go forward, Father. Something happened, Father. Ezekiel said that the bones begin to come together when your word go forward, when you breathe on your word, Father. And today we ask you, Father, to breathe on your word, oh, Father. Oh, Father, you actually allow me to speak your word, Father. So hide me behind the cross, Father, and have thy way. Have thy way, Lord. It's in the precious name of Jesus the Christ we pray, and we say amen, 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 amen. And amen. Again, let me first of all thank God for all of you who have come today to fellowship with us in this worship service. We, of course, like all other speakers have said, we want to thank all of the mothers that's in this house today, for we know the task of a mother, and so we thank God for that. We want to say to you, the mothers, that at the end of this service, that we will be blessing you with something. So after the benediction, please don't rush off. Amen. Don't rush off. I want to thank God for having the deacon from Star Bethel here with us again today. Amen. Amen. Deacon Johnson, is that right? Yeah, Deacon Johnson. Amen. And we have adopted Minister Sims and trying to make sure that he do what ministers do. Amen. The deacon have put him under study with me, so I got a responsibility. So when you talk back, you know you got a problem. Amen. I'm gonna tell the deacon on you. Amen. 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 But again, we thank God for all of you. How many brought the Bible today? Yeah, I know y'all modern day Christians. Y'all got telephones now, so y'all don't have to bring your Bible. But as long as you got the Word of God with you, that's what I want you to have. Amen. And briefly, I'm going to ask you in a few minutes that you would turn your Bibles to Exodus, the book of Exodus, the Old Testament book of Exodus. So you can be thumbing through that. All you individuals who seem to have a problem with finding that, I want you to get a head start. Turn to that early. Amen. But my sisters and brothers, we come today and we thank God Almighty for another blessed privilege and this glorious opportunity that God has afforded to us to once again assemble in this holy place. We thank God that he has allowed us to stand before you, the people of God, and to be used by God. It's not because of anything righteous I've done. It's not because I have lived so holy, but it's because God has looked beyond my faults. God has extended his mercy and his grace toward me, and God has chosen me as his vessel for this hour, and for that I thank him. Let me pause again here and greet all the mothers in this house. And we want to thank God for each one of you. Church, as we move forward in our service today, we want each one of you who's here to ask yourself, what would the world look like without mothers? What would the world look like without mothers? Mothers are not always our favorite people. Somebody ought to agree with me. We don't always agree with our mothers. We don't agree with them because they sometimes push us around. Oftentimes they try to discipline us. And often they chastise us. And they drive us. And sometimes mothers can get on our last nerve. Ain't nobody gonna agree with me in here. Oh, my God. But in spite of all of that, at the end of the day, somebody knows that there is no love like a mother's love. For a mother will be there when you are going through your ups in life. And even when you are down, mothers will be there. She'll be there when you're suffering and when you're going through pain. She'll be there when you are facing disappointments and when people have turned their backs on you and talked about you and gave up on you. You can depend on a mother because she'll stand right there by your side. Somebody ought to agree with me. You don't have to believe me, but take a stroll down on any corner when you see a young kid laying on the ground who just been shut down. You know he wasn't no good, but the mother will holler, "That's my child." I don't care what you say about it, but a mother will be there. Somebody ought to shout now. I'm talking about the mothers. Now, if you're going to act like a mother and you ain't no mother, you don't know what I'm talking about, but I'm talking about a real mother. Hey, amen, 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 amen. I'm talking about the mothers in the house. Mother, 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 mother. A mother will teach your child the word of God. Oh, my God. He'll follow what the word said. The word said, train up a child in the way that they should go. And when they get old, they won't depart. They might be like the prodigal son. They'll get hard-headed sometime. And they'll want to go out and sow their wild oats sometime. But somehow they'll find their way back. Find their way back to the foundation because that mother will train up their child in the way that they should go. So let me pause one more time before I take my text and say thank God for all of the mothers that's in the house today. Mothers, wherever you are, give yourself a hand clap of come on, come on, come on, come on, come on, come on. You act like you don't love yourself. Go ahead like you love yourself. Clap for your... Now, briefly today, because I know that these husbands have already planned a day for you guys. I know that your sons and your daughters have planned a day for you guys. I know that your boyfriends and whatever have planned something for you. I know that you're going to go on a barbecue in your backyard. You're going to go to the restaurant and stand in a line for 3 hours before you get in. But I know you're anxious to get there. So because you're angels, I'm not going to hold you too long. I just want you to share with me just for a little while as we look at the Old Testament book of Exodus. I want you to visit with me as we go down to chapter 2. When we get to chapter 2, we're going to start in the beginning at verse 1, and we're going to go through 1 through 10. And it reads thusly. It says, "And there went a man of the house of Levi, and took to wife a daughter of Levi. And the woman conceived and bare a son. And when she saw him, that he was goodly, a goodly child, she hid him 3 months. And when she could not no longer hide him, she took him an ark of bulrush and dabbed it with slime and with pitch and put the child therein. And she laid it in the flag by the river brink. And said, and his sister stood afar off to witness what would be done of him. And the daughter of Pharaoh came down to wash herself at the river. And her maiden walked along by the riverside. And when she saw the ark among the flags, she sent her maiden to fetch it. And when she had opened it, she saw the child. And behold, the babe wept, and she had compassion on him, and said, this is one of the Hebrew children. Then said the sister to Pharaoh's daughter, shall I go and call thee a nurse of the Hebrew woman, that she may nurse the child for thee? And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, go. And the maiden went and called the child's mother, and Pharaoh's daughter said unto her, take this child away and nurse it for me, and I will give thee thy wages. And the woman took the child and nursed it, and the child grew. And she brought him to Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son, and she called his name Moses. And she said, because I drew him out of the water. Amen. Amen. Just for a little while, my sisters and brothers, on this Mother's Day Sunday, allow me to speak to your heart about a woman named Jochebed. Jochebed was a trusting mother. She was a trusting mother. Church, we can find many mothers in the Bible that would be a raging example for mothers of our day and time. But we have chosen to look at the life and the example of Jochebed, and not necessarily because she was a good mother, but we have chosen to look at her life because this mother was a mother who had to make some hard choices. She had to make some tough decisions for the survival of her son. And I'm sure that somebody who's here today know exactly what I'm talking about, because I know that everything in your life have not always been peaches and queens. I know that you got some children that have given you some heartaches and some heartbreaks, and you have had to make some tough choices in your life. You have had to go through some tough times and make some risky decisions because your child ain't always been what you want him or her to be. Your child have had you walk in the floor late at night. Your child have had you to weep and have tears on your pillowcase. And so you have had to make some tough choices just like this woman. My God, my God. And I'm sure that you're in this house and somebody know that being a mother, being a parent sometimes requires some tough decisions. Am I right about it? Sometimes being a parent requires some decisions that not everybody will be pleased with. Somebody going to talk about you when you make some kind of decisions. Somebody going to talk about your family. Somebody going to tell you that you ain't no good and you should have did a better job with your child. And let them talk because they don't know what you know. They don't know what you've been through, and they don't know how you raised your child. They gonna talk whether you did good or whether you did bad. They gonna talk whether your kid went to Harvard or whether they didn't go nowhere.
and no good, and they're going to talk about you any way.
Anybody go help me? Or do I have to do this by myself? Being a parent sometimes means that you have to make some risky decisions. Decisions that sometimes will break your heart. They are decisions that you make, and the only way you can make those decisions is they require that you have faith in God. Trey Jacobed was the daughter of Levi, and the Bible said she married a man by the name of Abraham. And the Bible tells us, along with God, see, you can't do it. I know that you got seeds and she got seeds, but you can't do it by yourself. You need God to intervene if you're going to make a baby. I know you thought that you were months old, and I know you thought you had everything together. I know you thought that if you could drink a Red Bull, you'd be ready to go, but you can't do nothing without God. So the Bible said that Abraham and Jacobed, along with God, they made a baby. Ain't that right? And the Bible said not just one, but they had three children. And somebody knew them because one was named Moses, one was named Aaron, and they had a daughter named Miriam. You know their children because they all three of them played a significant role in the kingdom of God. For somebody know Moses was the deliverer of Israel. Am I right about it? He's the one that led them out of Egypt and led them in the wilderness, led them in the desert and bound to the Red Sea, and ultimately led them into the wilderness. And my God, you know Aaron, because Aaron, the Bible said, was the first high priest of Israel. And then Miriam, she was a prophetess. Oh, my God. And she was a poet, and she was a singer. See, it's different roles. And I think that if you look at the life of Jacobed, three kids, then you can tell the kind of mother. Somebody said that the apples don't fall too far from the tree. Ain't that right? And you see, all three of them had a significant role in the kingdom of God. It let me know that the mother was a kingdom mother. She had played a role herself. My God. But in our text, we see this woman of faith. And the Bible let us know that she was a woman who trusted God with her son. Her son named Moses. Surely somebody know that it is impossible. Listen to me carefully now, church. Somebody know that it is impossible to trust God with anything until you first begin to trust God with yourself. Did anybody get that? Ain't no use going to tell me about you trusting God with everything when you don't trust God with you. You got to trust God with yourself. See, there is somebody that is sitting here that know that if you're going to trust God, that you must have what? A personal relationship with God. You can't trust God until you have accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior. You have praised your faith in him. If you want to trust God, you need to know that there are some prerequisites. Help me out. You can't just stand up here and tell me about I trust God. You ain't been through what it was necessary to trust God. You ain't showed no signs that you trust God. You just talking with your mouth. Like the Bible said, I can hear you talk, but I still know that your heart ain't nowhere. There are some prerequisites. There's some prerequisites. That means that there's some requirements. Can I break that down to you? Just mean there are some requirements. How you know it's some requirements, preacher? Because Jesus says that no man come unto the Father but by me. And if you are planning a place your faith in God, you must accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. And you need to know, understand something, church, as we move forward in our text, that we are talking about a mother who had met all the prerequisites. Church, our text
said, now a man of the house of Levi married a Levi woman, and she became pregnant, and they gave birth to a son. And it said, when she saw that he was fine, a fine child, the Bible says she hid him for 3 months. The Bible said Jochebed conceived Moses during a time of a national turmoil and tragedy. The Israelites were enslaved down in Egypt, and Pharaoh wanted Jochebed's baby dead. And somebody know that during those times, that if one would defy the orders of Pharaoh, it not only meant death to you, but it meant death to your entire family. My God. And so what Pharaoh did, Pharaoh went to the midwives. And somebody know what a midwife is. For a midwife was the one who helped deliver the babies back in that day. And some of us who are older than the, your young folks know that we had midwives when we came up. We didn't go to no doctor because somebody, the neighbor, the auntie, or somebody came over and helped mama out, and the baby was delivered. And I believe that those kind of babies end up being better off than these sophisticated babies. So a midwife helped these women deliver babies. And the Pharaoh told the midwives, he said, every one of those Hebrew boys that is born, I want you to kill them. My God. And the Bible says that the midwives, they went to Pharaoh and told Pharaoh, we can't kill all of them because those Hebrew women, they are giving babies so fast, we don't know what the world is going to happen. And Pharaoh said, now you, if you can't kill them, what I got to do is give me a second decree because they multiplying too fast and they are dangerous. They might raise up a military army and they end up taking over Egypt all by themselves. So what I want to help you to do, that every boy that is born, I want you to throw them in the Nile. And so that's why the text tells us that Jochebed, she took little Moses and she hid him because she knew what the Pharaoh's decree was, and she had made up her mind that she wasn't going to follow Pharaoh's decree. And the Bible says she hid her son for 3 whole months. And there's no doubt in my mind, when you're hiding from the authority, that every time the soldiers would knock on a door, I know that her heart jumped in her chest. I know she got nervous. And the Bible let us know that she became extremely afraid. And every time they would knock on her door, she went down in prayer. Somebody ought to know how to pray. I believe that when they came marching down the street, she began to call out on her father. She said, Father, I don't know what to do. I'm afraid of these soldiers. I believe that she had a little talk with Jesus. And somebody know that if you have a little talk with Jesus, he'll make everything all right. Do anybody know what I'm talking about? I don't know what you're going through or what the enemy is trying to do to you, but you ought to have a little talk with Jesus and tell him all about your trouble. He'll answer you by and by, and you'll find out that everything will be all right. She went down in prayer. And can I tell you that her prayer became more fervent? And somebody know that the Bible said that the fervent prayer of the righteous, it availeth much. Church, I can visualize Jochebed, seeing her in my mind, holding on to her son, and crying out to God, saying, God, I don't know what to do. I need your wisdom. God, I need you to guide me. I can hear her crying out, saying, what shall I do with my child? Take this mother. She went to God in prayer. And I believe that we all can learn a lesson today from this mother. She was out of options. She had hid her son for 3 months. and she could no longer hide her son because everybody knew that she had had a baby. But you know what Jochebed did? She went back in her mind and she had remembered that she had a friend that would stick with her closer than a brother. She remembered that she had a relationship with somebody who was all-knowing. She had a relationship with somebody who was all-powerful. She had a relationship with somebody who was everywhere present. So she called out on her friend. She called out on her God. She said, Father, I stand. Stretch my hand to thee. Church Jochebed, can I tell you she was a praying mother? Somebody ought to learn how to pray. If your children are in trouble, you ought to go down on your knees and pray. You ought to call out on God. Say, Lord, I did all I could do, but I couldn't fix it. But I know that if you can't fix it, Lord, that it can't be fixed. And my God, somebody call out on the Lord, and he'll make everything all right. Can I tell you that she was a praying mother? Not only was she a praying mother, but the Bible let us know that she was a mother of faith. And instead of obeying Pharaoh, she chose to trust God. Somebody ought to get those two words. I said, trust God. Trust God. Can I say that again? Trust God. Too many of us are faking God. Too many of us are showing up, but we're not trusting God. Too many of us show up, but we don't depend on God. We only trust God when we're in trouble. We only come to God when the bottom will fell out, when we ain't got nowhere else to go. We pick up the telephone and call Sally, Sue, George, Roger, and Pete. And then finally, when they can't do nothing for us, we want to call God. We trust all them old dead presidents, them $1 and $2 and $10 and $100 bills. And when you ain't got no more bills, you gonna come down and tell the pastor, I don't know what to do. Can you pray for me? Sometimes I need to tell him, can you pay for it? Somebody gonna help me here. That's where we put our trust at. But notice that I said that this woman trusted God. And here, watch this, church. Here is where the text gets interesting. Now, all the other stuff was good and it sounded exciting. But here is where the text gets interesting. And because here in the text we see the faith of a mother. Somebody ought to say the mother's faith. And not only do we see the mother's faith, but we see the divine providence of an all-powerful and an all-wise God. The mother's faith and the divine providence of an all-wise, all-knowing, and almighty God. Somebody ought to get this because I said divine providence. And you ought to know that you out of line and you ain't going to never amount to nothing if it's outside of the divine providence of God. God is a God of order. God is a God that's in control. God is Alpha and Omega. God is all-knowing. God is all-powerful. And God is everywhere present. And here in the text, God is right there with Jochebed, even when the Pharaohs gave an order that he want all the boys dead. And Jochebed realized that she's not by herself. Somebody ought to say, I'm not by myself. But God is an everywhere present God. And I know that God is right here with me. Watch this, watch this, watch this, watch this. I say you see the faith of the mother, and you see the divine providence of an all-powerful and all-wise God. Somebody knows that this mother trusted God with her son and his gift.
Yeah, yeah. She didn't get the son unless he gave it to her. So her son was a gift from God. He belonged to her because when you're given a gift, it's yours.
Yeah, amen.
But it was his gift.
Yeah.
And so, frankly, we noticed that she trusted God for who he was. Not for what he had given her. Huh? Somebody, oh Lord, I'm going to trust you the rest of my life because you gave me a brand new car. She trusted him because he was God for who he was. Then secondly, in the text, notice that she knew that God had plans for Moses. Bible said when she looked at him, he was a goodly child. It means that she recognized that God had favor on the child. And so she trusted God with her son because she knew that God had, and watch this, here in the text, open your eyes, we see God orchestrating the destiny of the child life. What does that mean? That all of my steps have already been ordered by God. I've been predestined. I don't care what position you in today. That don't mean that that's where God wants you. That don't mean that that's where you're going to stay. You might be at the bottom today, but God have already designed it for you to be at the top. You don't know that you weren't created to be nothing. You were created to be victorious. You don't know that you are just like a checker piece. Anybody ever play checkers? Every checker on a checkerboard is designed to be a king or a queen. It ain't just designed to be there. But what happens to us is that we make bad decisions and we never end up being kings or queens. What happens to us is that we don't realize that in life it's designed that we have some opposition. You just can't move checkers to the king place. There's some opposition trying to block you. And just like in life, the devil is going to try to block you from getting where God have already designed for you to be. But if you put your trust in God, I don't care what the devil do, because the devil in hell can't do you no harm. You where you are, and you ain't going no higher until you fall down on your knees and begin to call out on the name of God. You got to learn how to trust him in spite of what it looks like. Somebody told you you wasn't going to make it, but you tell them the devil is a liar, because I'm a child of the king, and I was created to be, I was created to be a king. I was created to be a queen. So I ain't going to stay here. I'm just going to park him for a little while because I know the men are going to run out, and I got to move. I got to go on because my time is up down here. And every now and then I got to move on. I got to move on. I got to move on, church. My God, she trusted him. And we see God, how he orchestrates the destiny of the child life. I need to pause here long enough to tell somebody that how God is no respect the person. So what he did in the life of Moses, he'll do the same thing in your child's life. Anybody know that? Hey, don't give up on your child. Don't quit on your child. I know they might be bad, but don't give up on their child. My God, I have a man sit right here with me. I've never seen him. He sang like a hummingbird. They put him in a cave for a little while, but they can't keep a wild bird in a cave. He's going to have to get out and stretch his wings. And Sim decided that he was going to stretch his wings for the Lord. And that's why he tell you every now and then, that you don't know like I know what the Lord has done for me. You don't know
where he brought me from and what he brought me through. And you don't know why I praise him the way I praise him, because the Lord been good to me. And I'm just calling today to tell you, don't give up, brothers, on your child, because God is no respectful person. And he'll do the same thing for your child that he did for this boy. You just got to follow God's program. You got to put your trust in God and depend on him. How God would do the same thing for your child if you trust him with your child. Take the Bible, let us know that through prayer and a relationship that God inspired Jochebed to trust him. And the Bible tells us that what she did when she could no longer hide her son, she got a papyrus basket and she coated it with tar and pitch, and then she placed the child in the basket and put it among the reeds along the bank of the Nile River. Church, here is where Jochebed, who had did all she could humanly do with a child, she took her hands off of her baby and she turned them over to the Lord. And can I tell somebody that every now and then there will come a time in your life that you got to take your hands off of them and trust them with God. You got to take your hands off of them and turn them over to the one who gave them to you. Jochebed turned her baby over to God, and little did she know that God already had a strategic and a divine plan in order for her son. Church, the Bible said God placed Miriam, Moses' sister, he placed them at a distance to watch over the baby. Can you see God working now? The baby been put in a basket down by the Nile River, but God got a plan. So God put his sister there, and she stood off at a distance to watch what happened to the baby. And God then preordained that Pharaoh's daughter would come down to the river to bathe herself in the river. She came down at the right time, and she came down at the right place, and she washed herself in the river. And Pharaoh's daughter looked up, and she saw the basket, and then she sent one of her maidens. She said, go fetch the basket. And when she opened the basket, the Bible says she saw the child, and the baby wept, and the Bible said Pharaoh's daughter had compassion on him. And Chase, remember I told you that God placed Moses' sister there to be watchful, but to also aid God in the implementation of his divine plan. So Moses' sister, she sees the baby. She sees Pharaoh's daughter with the baby, and she goes to Pharaoh's daughter, and she heard Pharaoh's daughter say he was a Hebrew, and she said to Pharaoh's daughter that he's a Hebrew, and shall I go call the nurse of a Hebrew woman that she may nurse the child for you? And Pharaoh's daughter said to Miriam, go and get the Hebrew woman. So Miriam goes, and Miriam brings back her mother. He brings back the mother of the baby to nurse and wean the baby. And somebody needs to know right here and right now that you can trust God. I don't care what the enemy do. I don't care how the enemy come against you. The enemy wants you dead. But if you know you're a child of God, you ought to say, I got paper, and I don't have to worry about it, because I know God have already worked it out, and everything is going to be all right. Somebody ought to say it's going to be all right. I don't care what it looks like. It's going to be.
It's going to be all right. It's going to be all right. It's going to be all right. Notice,
what happened. This mother who was afraid for her son, this mother who had put her son in the basket, had technically gave him away because she loved him so much. She'd rather give him away than to see him dead. But look what God does. God set a plan in motion. And God's plan is always better than our plan. And God's plan ends up giving back to the mother the same baby that she was willing to give away. And my God, God is Alpha and he's Omega. God is a God that cannot lie. And he has assured us. My God, somebody ought to answer that for me. I said, God have assured us. He have assured us. Anybody want to know his assurance? Anybody want to know his assurance? You might be a better Christian if you know his assurance. You might act like a better Christian if you know his assurance. You might be blessed more if you know his assurance. God have assured us that I know the plans. I know the plans that I have for each one of you. I got plans to prosper you. I got plans to bring you to an expected end. I don't care what the enemy do. Enemy can't kill you. Enemy can't hurt you. Oh, they can try to block you. But God already fixed a way around the enemy's block. Somebody y'all say, I'm going over or I'm going through. But I know it's going to be all right. Because yea, though I go through the valley of shadows of death, I shall feel no evil because the promise keeper more. Anybody feel his promise? Anybody know he's promise keeper? Oh, I'm almost through with you. I'm almost through with you. I'm always through, almost through with you. God said, I know the plans that I have for each one of you. Church, not only does Jochebed save her son from the sword, but she gets her son back. Isn't that interesting? Look how God do his business. Not the way you think he ought to do it, but God already got a plan for you. Stop trying to fix God's plan. All you need to do is talk to God. Let God work his plan. God has a perfect plan for each one of us. Part of our problem is that we have allowed society to dictate to us. Too many of us are trying to live up to the standards of man. I want to be just like Shirley and Sue. They live over there. Why can't I live over? Because God intended for you to be just where you are.
Yeah.
You know, I know the plans I have for you. You trying to be like her, and I'm trying to take you higher than her. You trying to be like him, and I got something in store for you. I just gave him a few boxes out the warehouse. I had your name as owner of the whole warehouse, but you want to be like him. God say, I know the plan that I have for you. She gets her son back. She nurses her son. And she gets paid for taking care of her own child. Somebody ought to praise God. Yeah, ought to praise God. Yeah, and it looked like the enemy been victorious.
Yeah.
God is just working behind the scenes. He's working in the shadows. You don't always see the movement of his hand. You don't always hear his voice. You get upset and you get nervous. You go to complaining. You go to mumbling and grumbling because I've been talking to God and he ain't talked back to me. God was too busy working on your behalf. He didn't have time to stop and talk to you about that low stuff you're talking about. He got bigger plans in store for you. He's working on bigger things for you. You just got to trust him. I told you two words, trust him. You got to trust him. The problem with many Christians today is that we don't trust him. We talk trucks, but we don't trust him. This lady trusted God with her son, and God gave her son back, gave her an opportunity to raise her son, gave her an opportunity to nurse her son, and then paid her for raising her own child. Because she trusted him, he was willing to bring it to pass. Jochebed trusted God with her child, and God not only saved him, but God returned him to his birth mother, who was able to nurse and train him right in the enemy's camp.
And he said, I'll make your enemy your footstool. Don't you know a footstool is designed to help you stand a little higher? Every time you get on a footstool, you're a little bit taller. God enabled her to train and nurse her son right in the enemy camp. This mother trusted God, and God returned her son to her. And not that God only returned her son. You got to get this. See, God do everything for a purpose and with a purpose.
Yeah.
Anybody got that?
Yeah.
He does everything for a purpose and with a purpose. When he returned her son to her, he trusted her to teach him about God.
Yeah.
Train up your child. She trusted him. See, he trusted her to teach him about God. Not only teach him about me, but teach him about the plans that I have for my people. The Bible tells us that Moses was born in difficult times. And I think that the Bible emphasized the fact that he was born in difficult times so that you and I can't use excuses when we are going through difficult times. We're in difficult times right now. People have lost their jobs right now. People have lost their 501 K plans right now. People have lost homes and cars. People have lost friends and family members right now. But in spite of your loss, it's not time to give up on God. You ought to trust God more because God spared you and God kept you because your work have not been completed yet. God have not finished with you yet. God still got plans for you yet. God want to take you higher. Anybody want to go higher? God want to take you higher. He got you here for a greater mission. He got you here to leave out of your houses. Leave out of the four walls of the church. He got you here that you can go to the highways and byways and you can tell lost souls that there's still hope. I know you've been on drugs for a long time, but there's still hope. I know you've been prostituted, but there's hope. I know you've been living under the bridge, but there's hope. God got a plan for you. My plan is to prosper you and not destroy you. I will above all things that thou shalt prosper and be in
good health,
even as your soul shall prosper in difficult times. It's still no excuse for not trusting God. Can I close on you right here, church, by telling you that even in difficult times, the Bible says that Jochebed, she trusted God with a child. And because of her faith, the Bible said Moses grew up knowing and living and loving the people of God. And somebody knows that Moses became one of God's greatest liberators. Anybody know that God used Moses to lead his people out of slavery? And as they came out of Egypt, still people who God had blessed, they were mumbling all the way out of slavery. And the Bible says that as they went through the desert place, that God put a cloud in between the people of God and the enemy. And God kept them warm at night with fire. Ain't God all right? And then God led them down to the Red Sea. This Moses, the same boy who was raised up out of the Nile, he's leading God's people now. And when they get to the bank of the Red Sea, he finds that Pharaoh's army, the enemy is pressing down behind them. And can I tell you that you don't need to look back, church, because you're going to always have an enemy that's trying to catch up with you. But you know what I like about God? Not only will the enemy pursue you, but God will have blessings to also pursue you. You don't believe me? Read Deuteronomy. He said, I'll cause my blessings to overtake you. That means that you can't outrun God's blessing if you trust him. Somebody ought to say, my blessings are about to catch up with me. God is about to deliver me. He's about to take me to a higher place. Bible says that Moses got down to the Red Sea, and it looked like it was no way out. But I tell you that God already had a plan. Pharaoh's army is pressing down on Moses and the Israelites. And then God miraculously opened up the waters of the Red Sea, and he allowed Moses and the children of Israel to pass through a Red Sea on dry land. Somebody know that their sandals never got wet and never got muddy. All you got to do today is do what job it may be. You got to turn things over to the Lord. You got to trust him and depend on him. Somebody need to hide God's word in your heart. My God, his word. Somebody know that his word says, trust in the Lord with all thy heart and lean not to your own understanding. The word says, in all thy ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. Somebody know that his word is a lamp unto my feet. His word is a light unto my path. And all I got to do is hide his word, trust his word, depend on his word. And somebody know that when you trust his word, when you hide his word, when you depend on his word, then you're depending on God. Because the Bible says, in the beginning was the word. The word was with God, and the same word God. Can I tell you, you can trust God. Can I tell you, you can depend on God. He's able, and he can do what no other power can do. I don't care how dark it gets. I don't care how bad it look. I don't care who tell you that you can't make it, that you ain't gonna be nothing. I don't care how deep you're in it. I tell you, if you go down on your knees, somebody ought to go down. Go down on your knees and say, Father, I stretch my hand to thee. Trust God. He's able, he's able, he's able, church.